Welcome to the Wickedly Smart Women podcast, featuring stellar conversations with emerging and established wickedly smart women. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate women who are committed, care deeply, and have the courage to take action and create conscious change all around the world. Now here's your Wickedly Smart host, Angel B. Hartwell.
Welcome to another episode of the Wickedly Smart Women podcast, where we celebrate wickedly smart women and provide our listeners with a wealth of wisdom, along with immediately actionable steps to be smarter, spunkier, and more successful in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Angel B. Hartwell, and today we welcome our special guest, Stephanie Jordan. Stephanie is an author, teacher, and speaker. She's been a cosmetologist for 24 years and has five amazing kids, two dogs, and two cats. She's the author of two books, Believing in Boundaries and The Death Tsunami, which is a book about her journey into widowhood. She has broad life experiences and loves adventure. She loves Jesus and intends to spend her life sharing his message in an unconventional way. Her artistic and rock and roll style influence her outlook on life and living it to the full. She is passionate about riding her Harley Davidson Sportster 48 and reading, writing, and painting. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I am delighted to have you as well. I want to begin our conversation here with, have you always been a passionate person, or was that something that happened as you kind of emerged and matured?
I was born with two pistols loaded, ready to fight the world, and fire in my heart, you know? So I've always been super passionate, but fortunately, my passion is less self-destructive these days. So that's good.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about that. So tell us about your journey as a cosmetologist. What inspired you to get into that field?
It's interesting because if you would have known me in school, you probably would not have voted me most likely to go into the beauty industry. I was kind of like a get out of bed in my PJs and go to school kind of girl, but I loved the art of it all. And when I started cosmetology school, I just got it. I just really understood hair. And I loved that you could do so many different things with hair. And it's a moving canvas, and not most canvases are not moving canvases. They're solid pieces, you know, and hair is a moving canvas. It has sway and curl and all of this sort of stuff. So it's a challenge each time that you do hair. It also has a personality, just like the person that it's attached to. And so I love all those things about hair. And it's been an amazing career. I've really loved to just get my hands in there and paint and cut.
Well, clearly you have a lot of joy with that, obviously. So let's talk about what inspired you to become an author. Your first book was Believing in Boundaries, which as soon as I heard that title, I was like, yes, we need to talk about boundaries here to our wickedly smart women around the world. It's one of the power tools for anyone who's really successful in life and in business as well. So what was the story behind Believing in Boundaries, and what inspired you to become an author?
So I guess kind of like with my art heart, writing has always been a part of my life. I wrote songs back when I was a little bitty girl. I've always processed emotions through poetry and poems, and I've always journaled. So the written word has always been something that I've been passionate about. And it was always just for personal use, personal stuff. And then in 2019, I had a salon storefront and I had a large staff, and I kept having dreams about the salon going dark with my stuff in it. And I didn't realize at the time that it was the shutdown. And about 2 weeks into the shutdown, God said, "You're done. Close up. It's time to write." And I was like, no,
Ah, I just got a new logo. Like, are you crazy? No. And about
when we argue with the upstairs team. I love it. Like, what?
That's exactly right. Like, no. Because I had been building this business for 7 full years at this point. Like, we were growing. And I mean, we were on our way to becoming $1 million a year company. And it was thriving, you know? And so to just shut it down and shut it off. And about 2 weeks later, he said, "You're done. It's time to start writing." And I was like, "How in the heck am I going to get paid?" Like, I'm closing down my salon for a business that doesn't even exist. But I did. I closed it down and I started writing. And I started writing Believing in Boundaries. And I'm a little bit maybe impatient. And so I learned how to produce books and launched my own publishing company. So now writing is my primary focus. I still do hair, and that's still primarily how I support my family. But eventually the shift will happen and my writing will be my primary career.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, I have to tell a quick story, Stephanie, because I left the real estate industry 20 plus years ago, like 22 years ago. And then I had an art gallery and healing arts center. And the art gallery and healing arts center was a vision from spirit, from source. And within 2 years, it became clear to me that I needed to do something. So I sent out a prayer, and I work with Archangel Michael, and I said, okay, I need to do something here. And I got shown this street festival, which was just, I got the whole vision for the street festival, did the street festival, and only did $600 in my shop that day after having 2,500 people in the street in front of me. I was like, what is going on? And then I got the message that you're shutting your shop down. And when I got that message, I was going up and down the stairs because I had artists' materials and things that were stored in the lower level. And I was mad. I was like, why did you make me go through this whole process? I was like, so mad at the upstairs team. And I was like, why did you make me go through this whole process? And I got an immediate vision of the place burning to the ground. And the message was really clear. You're either going the easy way or you're going the hard way. So I really appreciate your clarity of receiving. So with that, I do want to talk more about believing in boundaries, but now you've put us down the road of really listening to and hearing messages. So what I'd love to ask you about before we get back to the book here is, have you always received direct messages like that? Or did you have some kind of, for me, I had a spiritual awakening about 20 plus years ago. Did you have some kind of an awakening experience that opened up your capacity to hear and receive?
That's such a good question. To be honest, God's talked to me my whole life. I just didn't know that's what it was. Before, I mean, I can think back to my childhood of hearing things and I didn't realize what it was. And then before I married my ex-husband, God told me not to marry him. And I did it anyway. I was 21 years old and we had great sex and a lot of fun. And that was all I cared about at 21. You know, it turned into a nightmare. And then with my late husband, who I remarried after our divorce, he was the first person that was, I had a dream one night. And I had a dream at 19. That's how God called me into ministry, was in a dream. And I was like, I don't know your word. I'm not living for you. You got the wrong person. I just didn't know how convincing he could be. And so when I was dating my late husband, I had a dream one night and I called him the next day and I told him the dream and it happened. And he called me and he was like, "You're a prophetess." And I was like, "No." I was like, "That is ridiculous and silly." I was like, "That's, you know, that's like what they had in the Old Testament, right?" But then I knew about our son, our second child, before we had him. I knew he'd be a boy. I knew what to name him. And then we knew about our fourth child, my daughter, 4 years before she got here. We had her name. And so the more I began to understand what was happening, right, the more I was in tune and aware that, oh, God is talking to me. Like, he's telling me these things. I've always had kind of a childlike faith, maybe because I've
I've always heard things my whole life. So I always knew there was a very realness behind that. And so I tend to be like, okay, well, let's do it. Okay, let's do it. And I'm kind of willing to jump off cliffs, like closing a very thriving business to start writing books, you know, that kind of stuff, which I would say takes time to get there, right? It takes time to have that kind of trust mm-hmm. in what you're hearing. And so, mm-hmm. so it's been a very interesting journey. And a lot of people really struggle when they hear you say, you know, well, God told me. They're like, well, how do you know it was God? Mm-hmm. You know, that's that mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Right. Well, so a couple things I want to say about this, and then we're going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the books. But, you know, I believe, having had a spiritual awakening, I believe that we all actually have the equipment. And for me, I call it source, infinite source, spirit. You know, that's my relationship, is source, infinite source, or spirit. And we all have the equipment. In your case, your strongest piece of equipment is your clairaudience, because you're hearing clearly. And societally, we have been repressed from being able to utilize our natural or supernatural capacities. And so there's clairaudience, there's clairvoyance, which is clairseeing, there's clairsentience, which is clear feeling, there's claircognizance, which is clear knowing. You just know, and you don't know how you know, you just know. And that's actually my strongest. So you are more strong as clairaudient, it sounds like. So now that we've had our lovely little metaphysical conversation, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about your book, Believing in Boundaries, and your second book, The Death Tsunami. But right now, Wickedly Smart Women, we could use your help. If you are enjoying this show, please consider joining our community, making a donation at wickedlysmartwomen.com, and sharing with your lovely lady friends that might benefit from our content. Help a gal out and let your sisters, mothers, daughters, friends, and colleagues know about the show so that we can serve them too. I want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. I also want to celebrate, we just found out that we won our 13th award. We won a Web Excellence Award. I didn't even know that we were in for that one, so that was pretty exciting. And we are going to shout out this week, because we are welcoming also thousands of downloads from all over the world. We're going to shout out this week to our listeners in Birmingham, Alabama, which is where Stephanie is, but also to our listeners in Sri Lanka and Slovenia. And we will be right back with Stephanie Jordan.
The Wickedly Smart Women podcast is brought to you by the Wealthy Life Mentor. Women, are you on the edge knowing that life is calling you to make a change? Are you ready to be part of the evolution of what it means to be a wickedly smart woman, creating your wealthy life by design, a life that is an extraordinary work of art? Angel B. Hartwell, the Wealthy Life Mentor, is hired by women in transition, women just like you who want to break through to their brilliance, become clear on the value of their wisdom, and embody a beauty-filled, balanced life of shameless self-expression. Discover your wealthy life readiness by taking the quiz at quiz.wealthylifementor.com.
And we are back with Stephanie Jordan. You can find out more about Stephanie and her books and her teachings at thestephaniejordan.com. thestephaniejordan.com. We will have that for you in the show notes. So, prophetess, tell us about the boundary thing, because I love the idea of boundaries, and I think women especially could use some support in that area. So let's talk about the genesis of that book first.
So it was kind of a 20-year long journey for me. I told you I had an ex-husband. He was an alcoholic, and I didn't know anything about alcoholism. I did not grow up with any exposure to that sort of stuff. So I just thought it was something that he would grow out of, right? We were 21 years old. We were so young, and he ended up beating me up while I was pregnant with my son. And so I left, and I tried to work the marriage out for 2 years, but he was never going to get help. As a matter of fact, he died nearly 2 years ago as a raving alcoholic. He never even attempted sobriety one time. And so when I remarried,
My husband and I at the time had a ministry and we were doing all of these awesome things. We got pregnant really quickly. And about 3 weeks into our marriage, we got pregnant with our oldest daughter. And because of the violent situation I had had with my oldest son, my first pregnancy, I had a lot of fear. And I took it out on my husband, which then like kicked in his coping mechanisms of using drugs. And so within the first year and a half of our marriage, we were in complete disaster. And I started going to Al-Anon meetings. And that was the first time I had ever heard the term codependent and like what that meant. And I was like, you mean I'm playing a part in all of this? Like I'm part of this mess? And so that was the first eye-opening moment that I was in this cycle, right? And then learning boundaries and what they meant. And I like to equate them to a fence around your backyard. Like nobody sees somebody putting a fence around their backyard and they're like, oh, that is so rude. I cannot believe they're putting a fence around their backyard. You know, the backyard's like this intimate space. It's still open. It's just like your front yard. It's just behind your home and your intimate space. And so your heart is your most intimate space. And boundaries are kind of like building a backyard fence around your heart. And it's not that people don't have access. It's just you choose how much access, when they have access, and at what level. Some people may lose backyard capabilities. Like they may need to ring the doorbell to have access, you know? And so that began this 20 year long journey of learning what boundaries are and why you need them. And so believing in boundaries was birthed out of that 20 year journey.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I love this analogy of the backyard fence around your heart. And I think for a lot of people who have had, certainly who have had traumatic relationship dynamics, my dad was a raging alcoholic and I've had drugs part of the scene for some of the men that I've been with and so forth. For women especially, I think it can be very difficult to not only, like for me, how I see it is there's like three stages. Number one, you get clued in that you actually need boundaries. Number two, you got to figure out what they are. And number three, then you've got to communicate them. And so I'm guessing that believing in boundaries is helpful in all of those areas for our listeners who may need some support in that regard.
My online course is probably more helpful than the book itself, partially because of what you said, right? Like a book is really hard to cover the vastness of boundaries. So the book itself like introduces why you need boundaries. What are boundaries? What areas? So my three primary focuses are cultural, relational, and faith practice boundaries. So I focus on those three areas primarily in the book, but I do have an online course on my website that goes in. It's an entire journey. There's four different primary steps, and it goes into intense detail about the process of setting boundaries, not feeling guilty about boundaries, and what responses to expect with boundaries when you start setting them. And it's such a vast concept. I always want to tell people it is a journey. So expect it to be a journey. You're not going to get it all overnight. You're not going to perfect it in a year. Like it takes time. So there's a lot of grace with yourself and others as you're learning all of this stuff with boundaries. But start the journey. That's the most important part.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, let's now talk about your second book, The Death Tsunami, which is about your journey into widowhood. I'm kind of curious about the tie-in between your second husband's drug use and whether that led to the widowhood or whether the boundaries came in a way that allowed that relationship to be different. I mean, I am curious about that part of the story as well.
That's a great question. The beautiful part is he did end up going to rehab and he never used actively again after his rehab. So
We got married in June of 2004. He went to rehab in November of 06. And he came out of rehab in March, April of 07. And then he passed away in December of 14. So we had a lot of years, but there was a lot of damage we had to repair. There was a lot of work to heal that marriage. He ended up dying of a hypertensive crisis, hypertension. He didn't even have a heart attack. His heart literally just basically stopped beating. So, you know, it's interesting that you say that because he was 38. He died in our bed at home. And because of that, they had to do an autopsy by law. Mm-hmm. And I almost posted his autopsy on my Facebook to prove that he had not OD'd. And talking about boundaries, I was like, you know what? I don't have to answer to any of these people. Like, if they want to assume, they can make assumptions all day long. If they don't know, because I posted that he died of a hypertensive crisis, right? And so if they didn't believe me, I didn't have anything to prove to them. And that is where boundaries become such a beautiful release for pressure, because I didn't have to justify any of that for him. But talk about a traumatic experience. So my oldest son was 13, had just turned 13. He went into complete and total rage to process the loss. And then my second child was 9 at the time, our oldest daughter together. And she kind of just caved in. She really pulled into herself and hid for a long time. And then our son was 7. And he was kind of really interesting. He had a lot of external, like he would come and hug me a lot repetitively throughout the day. I was homeschooling the kids, so we were together a lot. And he would come hug me, but he quit eating. Anything but ramen noodles, he would not eat for years. And the pediatrician was like, you know what? That's common in grief. If he's eating anything, whatever it is, let him eat it. And I was like, you're going to turn into a ramen noodle. Good thing is he's 16 now and he eats like a bottomless pit. But
that's what happens when you're 16.
Yes. And then our fourth child, our daughter, she was 2. She turned 2 days later. And then our baby was 8 months old when he passed. So I had little bitty ones.
Hands full. Holy mackerel.
Yes.
Wow.
The fact that I'm sane in any shape, form, or fashion is totally a testimony to God and his faithfulness, because I had a storefront business, a company, 5 kids, babies, homeschooling, and he kept all of that going. I just showed up. Right. Like there were days I didn't get out of bed until 5 minutes before I would have to walk out the door. And it's all grace. So much grace.
And I would imagine that's in the book as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. We've only got a couple minutes left, Stephanie. This goes so fast. So I just want to ask my kind of final question for you. What do you want people to hear other than, you know, you made it to where you are now through grace? What else would you want people to hear about the death tsunami and that book, or anything else from your journey that you really would like to leave our listeners with?
I always try and encourage people not to look over the grievers. Our culture always wants happy. We just want to talk about the happy stuff and the safe things. And so if you're out there and you're grieving, get support, get support, get, there's a company called Grief Share. I know that does groups get you some support, because grief is also a journey, just like learning boundaries, and you matter. Your grief matters and it's real. And a lot of people don't know how to handle death and the tsunami that comes with it because you can't see it. It's a mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, and annihilation of everything that you cannot see. It's all spiritual. And because you can't see it, people just assume that you're okay. And that's often not the case. So if you're in that grief state, get some help, get some support, because
it matters. Your journey mm-hmm. matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really love the passion that you brought to the show today and this final message about grief. It's trauma. It's a trauma, especially with a sudden loss. It's a trauma, and trauma has long-term impacts if it's not handled correctly. So yeah, thank you so much, Stephanie, for coming today and sharing your story. I really appreciate it. Listeners, we are at the end. We do love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's episode. Go right now to wickedlysmartwomen.com to join our community, share your takeaways, ask questions, or submit guest suggestions. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep your ears open, especially those of you who are clairaudient. And remember, you are a wonderful woman.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to rate and review Wickedly Smart Women on Apple Podcasts and share with other women who can benefit from today's episode. Wickedly Smart Women is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who carries profound wisdom and knows that now is the time to welcome wealth. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at wickedlysmartwomen.com.